How many of you are glad that you're in the race? You're in the race, right? You're in the race, wanting to win, wanting for your faith to be lived out to the very end. I mean, that's why we gather, right? I was thinking about some of the things that Leonard says, and I don't know about you, but there's just these dingers, you know. People are talking, and I get thoughts, you know. You guys know the otter personality that I have, and so Leonard's talking about eggs, of course. So my default was, thank God for the homie hookups. How many of you have a network around you? Does anyone have a network? You got friends? I got friends in low place. And in high places too, right? So we all have these homie hookups. I was thinking about eggs and the price of eggs. And so the other day, we get a phone call. We're going to the Kearney campus, and there's this young lady and her husband that had started going to the church. They're there at the campus. They're from Eager, and their names are Jake and Jesse. And so Jesse is going to be doing praise and worship with my wife, Shauna. So everyone say, praise the Lord for that. That's a wonderful thing. God brings people. But so Jesse calls my wife, and she says, do you guys want eggs? We were like, doesn't everybody right now want eggs? And so she brought us like the 18 packs of fresh eggs. Not one, but two. So if you're nice to me, you know, there might be a homie hookup coming, right? God is so good. And so we're doing praise and worship. I added something to my message last night. I had, in my devotion, I was going through something, and I'm reading through Nikki Gumbel and Pippa Gumbel, and they're going through the Bible in a year. And I've read it before, but I like going back to it because Nikki does a great job of his commentary every day. And he said something that just stood out to me that fits with today's message. And then we started singing this song, and Zoe started with these words, and she said, look at the flowers. And she went on to say how my father has everything we need. Well, my devotion starts out like this, or Nikki's devotion that I'm going to quote. I guess there's this flower show in London, and it's called the Chelsea Flower Show. I'm going to read it right now. The Chelsea Flower Show may well be the most famous flower show in the world. It attracts visitors from all continents. There are four grades of award presented: gold, silver, gilt, silver, and bronze, as well as awards for gardens and flowers. The Nation Award is for exhibits of vegetables, and I once heard a man being interviewed about the fact that he was retiring after winning the gold medal for his vegetables for 10 years in a row. Asked for the secret of his success, he said, and hear this, I aim for perfection, but I settle for excellence. In 2 Corinthians 13:11, we see that Paul writes, aim for perfection. And this is very different from perfectionism. Perfectionism is a personality trait characterized by striving for flawlessness. It leads to setting excessively high performance standards. Perfectionists are overly critical of themselves and constantly concerned about what others think of them. It leads to a fear of failure and making mistakes. It can lead to depression, anxiety, and missed opportunities. God's people have always been called to aim high while avoiding the dangers of perfectionism. God gave to his people in the Old Testament a wonderful vision of their potential inheritance. And here's the deal. It's all of yours in Christ Jesus. Everything that we need is found in Jesus. And we aim high when Jesus is at the centerpiece of our lives, when he is the ultimate goal for everything that we do. As we continue our series on experiencing joy. Today, the Apostle Paul is going to take us to this mountain right here of telling us, I have not achieved perfection, but I press on. How many of you are running the race? And how many of you are pressing on every day? You know, I started this series on joy, and I wanted to bring everybody with me to a place where we can experience joy, not from the reality of our circumstances, because our circumstances are sometimes not very happy. But the God that we serve provides joy even in those circumstances. I got a text message in our prayer time for our elders, and it was from one of our staff members that had a horrific week last week and got up this morning with another horrific event in her life. And I think about all these things that, I mean, this is just our staff, but I'm talking to 150 people today, if not more, that are in watching online. And your circumstances probably are not the best. But the joy that God provides is not determined by your circumstances. It's determined by the one who rose from the grave. And that's what we're talking about today. The Apostle Paul was writing from prison. He was not writing from a Holiday Inn or a cabin that he had rented for the month so that he could write this letter to the church in Philippi. He was writing from a very, very dire circumstance in his life. And yet he said, count it all joy in everything that he was going through, and rejoice, and again I say rejoice, and all these things that point us to the fact that we can have joy in the Lord, no matter what we're facing and no matter what we're going through. So we're going to go to verse 12 of chapter 3 in Paul's letter to the Philippians, and this is how it starts in verse 12. It says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. And that kind of points to what Leonard just said by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I believe that there's a heavenly prize. There's something awaiting us that's a lot better than what we're experiencing right now. And we should all be looking forward to that. Amen? Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe that God will make it plain to you. And that speaks to the reality that God is always speaking to us. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And in those seasons of difficulty, we can trust that God's going to meet us where we need to be met. Amen? And mature people press on through the dire circumstances of life. That's what Paul is saying right here. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. Someone say amen to that. He will take our weak, mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Under his rule. And so from that scripture passage right there, I want to talk to you about pressing on with joy, because here's the thing. At the start of the day, you got to choose to press on no matter what the day is going to bring your way. At the end of the day, you go to bed and you rest in Christ knowing that tomorrow's coming And if the Lord grants you another day, that you're going to choose to press on no matter what this life brings into your path. And you can do it with joy. You can do it by being rooted in Christ, by letting yourself be just be established in the goodness of God. You see, your circumstances cannot overcome the goodness of God in your life. That's already established. That's already done. Jesus gave you that, and you can walk in it. So I got some takeaways that I want you to consider. And the first one is this: joyful is a man and woman who live with a work in progress mentality. How many of you understand that you're not there yet, but you're not where you used to be? That's what the Apostle Paul said. I have not reached this place, but I'm not where I used to be. And all of us need to live our lives with that mentality. He says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. Now, what are these things? You got to look at this contextually. What are these things? Well, right before this, in verse 10 and 11, he says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Now Paul is saying, not that I have attained all this, I have not reached all this perfection. He said, but I'm going to set my mind on pressing on and understanding that God has a plan in my life no matter where I'm at. Whether I'm in prison or the palace, God has a plan. Whether I'm in a very dire circumstance or I'm in a great circumstance, I went yesterday to pray with a young man that has been in the hospital since November, and he's struggling with a condition that the doctors are baffled. In fact, the Mayo Clinic and Banner Hospital, they have no idea what is going on. And there are papers that will be written about him because they just want to write about this challenge that the medical field is facing, that they're scratching their heads, not understanding what's happening. So I went there. From November, he walked into the hospital after he had a seizure, to yesterday, and thank God for people like Rob Walker, who's been there throughout this time, and he's been visiting and praying with the family. But I get there yesterday, and this man, a young man, was so instrumental in so many things. He used to clean our courtyard. He'd mow. He would serve in that capacity. Never said anything to anyone. Just came and did that for years, without just volunteering doing that. His wife is an amazing woman. So gentle, so meek, so wonderful. And so Sean and I went yesterday, and he's in the hospital bed. He don't recognize people. As far as we know, he don't talk. He can't move. From walking into the hospital in November to now bedridden, not being able to stand, not being able to walk, not being able to talk, just staring at me. And I prayed with everything I could for the Lord to touch him. And I believe that God can. And I believe that God is with him. I believe that God can raise him from that bed. I know that Jesus can. But I don't know if that's what's going to happen. I just believe in the name of Jesus that those things are going to happen. But let me tell you, that's a dire circumstance. Let me tell you how I walked out of that room. My wife and I were walking out of that room, and I said, babe, that could be one of our kids. She looked at me, and she said, babe, that could be you. And I said, well, that could be you too. Anything you can say, I can say better. But we're in this tension. We're in this tension in between, you know, this life and where the Lord is taking us when this life is complete. That we're pressing on. We're moving forward, and we understand that we are not perfect, none of us, but we do serve the perfect one. And in this life, we're called to experience. We're called to experience the mighty power of God in our imperfections as we trust Jesus. We suffer with him. We share his death. We can experience. We do all this because we know we're going to experience the resurrection of the dead, and we're going to have glorified bodies, and we will never suffer again. That's the promise of every believer, and it's our hope. And every day we put our hope in that reality. The great missionary Elizabeth Elliot, who was a wife of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot took his family to Papua New Guinea, and he took them, and he was murdered by the indigenous groups there in New Guinea, and Elizabeth, as her husband was killed, she did not leave, but went into that same village and brought every single one of them to Jesus Christ after they had killed her husband. And Elizabeth is quoted for saying this. She said, "God is a God of human history, and he is at work continuously and mysteriously accomplishing his eternal purposes in us and through us and for us. And I love this, in spite of us. In spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our failures, in spite of the things that we do, God is working his purposes out." And we have to remember that God being at work in us brings joy. He brings his joy. Let me tell you, when you don't have joy, when you don't do the work that God has for you, when you sit in pews every Sunday and you sit there listening to a message, but you never do anything the rest of the week, that will not bring the joy of God. What brings the joy of God is when your husband is killed by the indigenous group in New Guinea and you say, "I'm not going home. I'm not running away. I'm pressing on." And the Lord uses you to bring them to Jesus Christ. Here's what we need to know. God is continually at work in us. I'm talking to someone today. He hasn't stopped working in you. He's not going to stop. He desires more from you. He desires for you to glorify his name. He's also mysteriously at work in us. Let me say something to you. I don't understand some things that happen in life. I don't understand why that young man is in the hospital. It's not only does it baffle the doctors, it baffles me. I have this conversation with my father saying, "Lord, I don't understand." I prayed, and his wife talking to us and saying, "You know, I had these talks with the Lord. I'm having these, I'm journaling, I'm talking to the Lord about what's going on, and I don't understand it, but I trust him." I'm developing a trust that I've never had before, is what she said. I'm believing that God is at work despite of what I see externally. Because we live by faith and not by sight. We believe that everything has a purpose. See, I default to that reality, that I believe that everything that happens in the life of James Reese has a purpose. Every day has a meaning. Paul started out this letter in Philippi in verse 6. Remember chapter 1, verse 6. He said, "I am certain." Not like this is probable, right? He didn't say this is probable. He said, "I am certain that God, who began," what kind of a work in him? The good work, right? So "I'm certain that God, who began the good work within us," right? He's talking, he didn't say within us, he said within you. He's pointing to them. "Within you, he will continue his work until it is finally finished." So God is working every single day, progressing you to continue to glorify his name no matter what your circumstance is. And in that, the fruit of the Spirit says that you're going to have the joy that comes from God. And you're going to be able to walk out that joy. And he's going to continue this work with the joy of God until when? Until it is finally finished. And when is it finished? On the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it tells me that my days are going to be filled with a lot of different things. Trials and tribulation. Difficulties, but I can be of good cheer because Jesus overcame. And I'm not alone in what I'm going through. I know that Jesus is with me. And when it says that God will continue his work in us, it speaks to us that he is desiring to grow us into maturity. And you need to know this, beloved, that there is a lot of joy in maturity. When you're maturing, trials are different. When you're not mature, you think these trials are going to kill you. When you begin to mature, you say, you know what, God's in control whether they kill me or not. You're not tossed to and fro. You're not looking for someone to tickle your ears. You're not. See, that's the thing about it, beloved. We're not called to tickle the ears of people. I'm not here to tell you that everything's supposed to be okay. Oh, if you have enough faith, everything's going to be okay. Let me tell you something. In this world, in this life, things will not be okay because this is not our home. We're just passing through. And we're passing through to bring as many people as we can to the throne room of God. To bring people there. When you're grounded in the truth of the gospel, beloved, when you're grounded in the truth of the gospel, things look different. Your joy is real. Your joy is actually experienced. You stop self-medicating. When you start to mature, you stop self-medicating. You don't need a drink to get you through the day. You don't need a substance to get you through what you're going through. I'm not telling you that you can't do that, you're forbidden. I'm not telling you that, but that's not your answer. That's not what takes the edge off. What takes the edge off is the power of the Holy Spirit. And tapping into the name of Jesus that is above all names. Paul says, look at the continuation. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. Okay? If you're mature, you're going to agree. And here's the thing about maturity, guys. You're more united than divided. You have a spiritually immature church, there's a lot of division. This is how you can tell if a church is spiritual immature. When there's a lot of division, when there's a lot of divisiveness, because the devil is in splitting people. God is about uniting. And so he says, let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe that God will make it plain to you. Because this is what mature people do. They begin to seek the face of God. They begin to look at his viewpoint instead of our own. And then he goes on, I believe that God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress that we have already made. Agree on the fact that we're not going back. Agree on the fact that sometimes eating crow is good for us. That's what forgiveness is, right? It's saying, yeah, I forgive you. I made a mistake. Or you know what, you made a mistake, but I've made many of them too, so I'm going to forgive you for yours. Amen? It's going away from the critical spirit. It's going away from always criticizing everybody. I know you guys don't do this in this service, but maybe the next one they do. Just getting ready for that, right? And so we begin to agree on the fact that we are a work in progress, but we are grounded in the gospel that comes in and through faith. And let me ask you a question. How many of you in here know that you're saved? You know that you're saved. Why are you saved? Because you trusted in the one that paid it all. That's what the gospel is that you're saved by what Jesus did, not by what you do. And I say that because I went to a service yesterday, to a funeral service, and as I sat there and I heard the person that was speaking, I went there to support a person that goes to the church who I dearly love. And as I went there and as I heard them talking about, you know, the deceased and all this, all I heard was an apprehension to know the fact that they're saved or they're not saved. And it was about what you can do for God instead of what God does for you. You need to be sure. And if you're not sure, today's the day you put your trust in Jesus and take the trust off of you. Amen? And that'll bring a lot of joy, right? Paul, again, he says this in the book of Hebrews. He says, therefore, we have to leave the elementary teachings about Christ and let us press on to maturity. That's important right there. God wants me to press on. So he does not want James Reeves to be immature. And when I act immature, I have to identify that. And guess what I have to do? I got to move forward. I got to press on. I've got to keep moving into that place where I'm established in and through what Jesus has done for me. Here's the second takeaway. Okay, joyful is a man and woman who will press on, push on, and run to win. So some of you that are here with us are new. And maybe some of you that are in here, you have not trusted in Jesus. And then there are some of you in here that maybe you're new to Christianity. You just started your walk. But a lot of you that are here, you've been walking with Jesus for some time, and you need to know something that's very important, that you were not called to be a pew sitter. There's nothing worse, hear me now, there's nothing worse than for Christ followers to come every week or every other week and sit on chairs listening to a guy speak and then going home and saying that message was good or bad, instead of saying the Savior that we go and worship is great. What can I do for you, Lord? You'll never mature in the things of God sitting down and doing nothing. God called you to press on. He called you to push on. He called you to run so that you could win. Let's look at verse 12 again. I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. You are called and I am called to strive to possess all that Jesus has purposed in our life. And what I've come to find out is there's no joy in idleness. Did you know that? In fact, idle hands and idle lives are the devil's playground. You got too much time on your hand by not doing anything. Let me tell you, the devil will give you things to do and take you away from the things that matter to God, right? World changers don't sit idle, and world changers do not seek comfort. Hear me now, American church. God called us to change our world. God called us to make a difference. My daughter called me a couple weeks ago. She just started, full-time educator now, and she's teaching, and she called me the other day, and she was in tears. And she said, Dad, this is the hardest thing that I've ever done. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. And I listened to her, and of course, my heart hurts, my daughter. And I said, Cassie, nothing that's worth anything in life is ever easy. Hear me now. Nothing that is worth anything in life is ever easy. If you want to make a difference, every year, Cass, you're going to have an opportunity to make a difference in 20 kindergartens. 25-year-olds are no matter what's going on in their home, and you don't know what's going on in their home, you get an opportunity to be with them for 6 to 8 hours and pour the love of God without even saying it sometimes, but just living it out. You see, world changers don't sit idle, because here, I think my in that conversation, possibly my daughter might have been wanting me to say, well, you know what, babe, if it's too hard, just quit. That ain't gonna happen. Larissa says, we don't quit. A man and a woman of God, you just don't quit. You keep pressing on. You keep doing. You know, Martin Luther King Jr., he said something that stands out to me. He says, if you can't fly, then you run. If you can't run, then you walk. If you can't walk, then you crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. You got to press on. You got to do whatever God calls. Now, here's what you need to know, beloved. Here's what you need to know, that there will always be chatter that does not matter in your life. No matter what you do in life, there's going to be people that are going to be talking from the sidelines. That doesn't matter. Let me tell you what matters. What does God say? And God says, press on. God says, move on. Push on. Move forward. Keep moving in the direction that God has set before you. And every single one of you today has a choice. To leave here by just sitting and I heard a message, or to leave here and say, Lord, what do you have for me? What can I do for your glory? How can I make a difference where you're at? Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, he says, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets a prize? Run to win. Run to win. Here's the next runner. Can I tell you, I never ran a race. I never ran a race in high school or college where I ran to lose. Did I win every time? No, but I'm telling you something, that I ran so that I could win. And even if I didn't beat that person that got first place, I wanted to beat someone, leave someone behind. It's like when you're in the forest, you know, and there's bears and lions and tigers and bears, right? I'm not real worried as long as the person that I'm with is slower than me. And I just give them all the sandwiches, let them carry the sandwiches in case something happens. I'm just kidding. See, running, beloved, is vital to your life. Either you're going to run to something, you're going to run to a prize, you're going to run where the Lord is directing you, or sometimes you got to run from something. Say amen. There are things that come into my life, Pastor James's life, that I got to run away from. There are some things that the devil plants in our life. Paul writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, 11 and 12. But you, Timothy, you're a man of God. So run from all these evil things, okay? Run from lust, immorality, run from all these things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. So he says, you know, you're one that runs. You're the one that fights, Timothy. Keep on doing it. And we need someone to tell us that continuously in our life. We need someone to come alongside and say, or you need someone to say, run. James, run. You remember this movie? And this one man was born with all kinds of challenges. And life is like a box of chocolate. And you go to these places and you find that someone comes into your life and they help you through it. You just don't know.
Hey, stupid. with it. Run, Forrest, run!
Hey, did you hear me, stupid?
Run, Forrest!
Get in the truck, get in the truck! Let's move it! Come on, let's get in the way, move it!
Run, Forrest, run!
See, did you recognize something in that clip? All the accusations? All the, hey, you stupid. Hey, you dummy. Hey, you inadequate person. Run away from those things. Run away from the things that, come with me, bro. Come with me, Phil. Come with me, dude. Come on, Jim. Come with me, bro. You got to run sometimes. Come on, come keep up with me, homies. Come on, bros. Sometimes you got to run. Sometimes you got to run. Look at this guy right here. I'm not a runner. These amazing guys. Sometimes in life, you got to run. No, you're good. You're good. But you can if you want. Keep on running, bro. Run around. Hey, run around the campus one time, Nick. No, sometimes in life, you got to run from something. A lot of times in life, you got to run to something. So here's what you need to know on the first day or second day of March 2025. Where is God calling you to run to? And where is God calling you to run from? Because all of us have that. And here's what some of us need to run away from being defined of what happened in the past. I want to end with that consideration. The last thing that I want you to think about is you focus on today and you choose to forget about yesterday. If yesterday was good, it's over. Today's a new day. If yesterday was bad, it's over. Today's a new day. And if God has given you life, then make the most of your life. Make the most of what God has done for you and what God wants to do in you and what the Holy Spirit will produce through you. You know, the Apostle Paul said it so well. He says, I focus on this one thing. I forget the past, and I look forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. And here's the deal, beloved, that God is calling each one of us to this heavenly prize. And I don't know about you, but I want to receive it. I don't know about you, but as long as I have breath, I'm not done running. The prophet Isaiah, as I close, he said it like this. He said, forget the former things. Writing to the children of Israel, he said, do not dwell on the past. And then the Lord says through him, I am doing a new thing. And then, but before he says that, he said, see, I am doing a new thing. In other words, open up your eyes today. On this second day of March 2025, open up your eyes and see what the Lord is doing in your life. Not in Pastor James's life. He's doing all kinds of things in my life. But let me tell you something. The devil is also trying to work in my life. But greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I'm talking about where are you in your life? What are you doing with what God has done? He says, I'm doing a new thing. Now, it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness. And I'm making streams in the wasteland. Now here's what how I want to close today. For some of you in here, you've been sitting for too long. You've been sitting way too long. And you'll never experience the new things of God by sitting on a pew. And so today God's calling you to action. Today God is calling you to a place where you take a step in his direction so that he can begin to allow for you to see where he's going to lead you in the coming days. To do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you could ever think or ask, according to the power that he is working in each one of us. And so as the praise team, as they do this closing song, we're not closing our hearts and we're not closing our minds. Today you're taking a bold step and you're going to say, Lord Jesus, I'm walking. And you're going to come to the altar. Whoever God is calling, this is not manipulation. This is actually a God moment in your life. Whoever God is calling, you're taking a step forward. You say, God, I'm yours. And wherever you tell me to run, I will run. Whether it's running away from something or running to something, Lord, I am yours today. And let the Holy Spirit meet you at this altar. And let God do his work. And I'll tell you this right now, that everything in the economy of God, everything starts with an action step. Everything. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, come and follow me. He never said, I will follow you. Today is boldness. Today is you saying yes to Jesus' plan for you in 2025 and striving for perfection, and you may settle for excellence. Amen? So praise him. Go ahead and play the closing song, and each person that is being called by God, everyone stand up. You guys just come forward, and it's just a step of action. It's a step that you're saying, Lord, meet me here in this place of destiny. So, Father God, thank you. Thank you for every person that's here, Lord. Thank you that you're moving, Holy Spirit. Thank you that you're drawing people, Lord, and you're leading us and urging us to greatness. Not for our glory, but for yours. Past our comfort. And to the place, Lord God, where we have to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. My father has
that concludes our service for today. The altars are still open. There are people willing to pray if you'd like more prayer. But you guys be blessed and have a great week.